Well, normally, when the music is all done and we're getting to the teaching part of the service, normally I'm up there in the front, and I was reflecting on what it was, because obviously I didn't always occupy that role, and so I was thinking a lot this week about what made the biggest difference for me personally. If I had to isolate a couple things outside, obviously, of God's sovereign work as the all-encompassing category, what were the specific things that God used to bring me from here to there? And one of the things that I look back on was this idea that we're talking about today of inviting. There were a couple key invitations that people made. You know, one of the first ones that I consciously remember actually wasn't to me, but it was to my sister, Kim. We grew up at a church that I've talked about before, a small country church. And my sister Kim, when she was a teenager, was invited by a friend of hers to go to this thing called youth group. We didn't really have a youth group at our church. And my sister was invited to go to this thing called youth group. And she had a profound experience there. She made connections, deep connections with other people who were her age trying to follow God. And she also got connected with God in a real more personal way. Well, through a series of circumstances, that were in a lot of big parts set in place by that one invitation, our family ended up transferring because of a junior high girl asking another junior high girl to come to youth group. And it was at that church, if you want to click to the slide of Roger, here's a guy I've talked about quite a bit. He's this guy right here, Roger Twight. And on that screen, he's that guy. He was another guy who extended a lot of invitations. He was the youth director at that church, and he extended invitations for me to get involved, to try these things called retreats that I'd never tried before. He encouraged me to try leadership positions in the youth group that I wouldn't have considered on my own. And ultimately, he invited me to take deeper and deeper steps in my faith journey. So now if you want to go back to that slide that we started with, for the last couple of weeks, we've been in this series called Membership Matters, where we've been trying to look at the biblical basis for membership as we as a church move closer to that. And down today now, we're going to be talking about this idea of inviting. And again, I don't know exactly how our choice and God's sovereignty, how they all coexist, but I do know that God used an invitation from a teenage girl to put our family at a different church. And I also know that God used invitations from people like Roger Twito and others to help me discover God's plan for my life. I believe that God not only uses invitations, but I don't know if anything else comes close to when it comes to the things that God uses. While I make my way down where it's probably less awkward for me to be, I want you to watch a little clip that I came across while we were preparing for today. So if you guys want to... Well, I haven't been able to verify that 82 number, so I don't know where they got it, and I don't know, what research methodologies were used. I have seen another research thing that someone put out to put the number at 25%, would say yes if they were asked. I don't know. So I'm not going to try to say, here's the number, here's the perfect thing. But it seems to fit my personal experience that nothing, when it comes to whether it be attending worship service or whatever, personal invitations, nothing really beats that when it comes to helping someone consider a change in behavior or a new thought. Personal invitation seems to be the most significant thing that I can think of. They're a big deal. Well, in your notes on the back, if you haven't already discovered this, we have what's called the IQ test. And if you would be so kind as to spend a little bit of time taking this IQ test, and what type of IQ, it says on the back, what type is it? It's the IQ standing for invitation quotient. If you could take this little test, we're not going to be turning it in, so don't worry about that. No one else is going to see it but you, especially if you cover your answers like this. So go ahead and just be as honest as you can, and let's just take this little quiz, and then we'll talk about this idea of inviting. All right. Well, while you're working on your quizzes, here's the lyrics to that song that was playing, at least some of the lyrics. And as we're looking at these, see if you don't think this is true for yourself, for people you know. Everyone needs compassion. A love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. everyone needs forgiveness and the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. How many of you know someone that is either in need of compassion or in need of a love that is never failing? Someone who needs mercy right now, just mercy to fall on them, someone that needs forgiveness or the kindness of a Savior. Anyone know anyone like that? All right. Here's the next verse that it says, or I guess the second part of the first verse. Savior, he can move the mountains. There's a reason why we do songs, you know, obviously in here. Songs are so powerful because you can take these and you can express them in such a deep way. And that's why we sing stuff like this. Savior, he can move mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. He's the author of salvation. He rose and he conquered death. Jesus specifically conquered the grave. Anyone know anyone who needs a mountain to move right now? Absolutely. And when we talk about invitation, it's always hard. Last week we talked about money. You know, it's hard for me to talk about these things from this position because of all the baggage that comes with that. Oh, sure. Talk about inviting because you want more people. Or talk about money because you want more money. I hope so far in this series, and I hope today, that you see that that's not the end result, to just have more people. It goes so much deeper. This is what we're inviting people to, isn't it? We're inviting them into a relationship with a God who can move mountains. And to be reminded when we face the mountains that God can move mountains. That he's a compassionate God, mighty to save, a place where he wants to create these communities where you can have mercy fall on you and experience forgiveness. That's what we're inviting folks to. So that's the invitation. The invitation we're talking about today is not to an organization, although there's a piece of community of faith piece that we'll touch on. That's not the invitation. The invitation is to this God, this inviting God. That's where the invitation is. That's why the Bible refers to our invitation in terms like this. If you could put this, this is from Isaiah 52. When the invitation is given and described, it's not in this obnoxious terms that so many of us come to expect. You know, well, the people who are out there telling people, you got to do this and you got to do that, it's different. Here's how the invitation is expressed. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. Who proclaim what? Peace. Who bring what? Good tidings. Who proclaim what? Salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. That's the invitation. To good news, good tidings. That our God ultimately reigns, even if we don't see it. Well, when I think of that invitation, the biblical context of the invitation, then I think to what's going on with our churches. Boy, our churches are really falling short of that kind of invitation. In fact, here's a stat I came across. I think this is per year, but I'm not certain. The average church in the United States has one convert per 100 in attendance. Meaning that if you take the average church for every 100 people you have over the course of a year, one person will make a life change. You will see them convert from following money or following themselves to following the way of Jesus. Or they will convert from following another worldview to following the way of Jesus. That's what that means. And so 1 in 100. Oh, and that's why we see that 3,000 churches every year are closing their doors. 3,000 in the U.S. are closing their doors every year. That's like 10 a day. Every day, today, about 10 churches closed for the last time. Because I think people are not inviting to this. Well, the compassion that God wants to extend to others through us, the mercy and forgiveness that people need to experience, the invitation that God wants to make through us isn't being made. Someday there's a series that I want to do. Hopefully this next year we'll have to see if we can fit it in. But if we could put up this idea I have for a future series. Someday I want to do this series called I Am, I Will, with capital I Am, capital I Will, and then I Am, I Will with lowercase. Meaning, God being the capital. Here is who God is, and here is what God wills. Therefore, here's who we are, and here's what we will commit to in the power of God. For instance, the Bible says God is love. Therefore, God wills that we love one another. And we could say, as part of that, in Christ, the little I, we are forgiven and we're loved by God. Therefore, we commit to expressing forgiveness and love towards one another. So someday we have to do that. But today we're kind of doing it. Actually, this whole series, we've kind of been doing it. Here's the biblical basis. So far, everything we've done, hopefully you've seen this. There's been a biblical basis for every one of the things we've talked about as we talk about membership. If you could hit that. We talked about community. Well, God exists in perfect tri-unity. That's why we therefore commit to covenant community. Involved. That's another thing we've talked about as a part of membership. Well, God created us for good works. So then we commit to saying, okay, God, if you created us for good works, we'll commit to doing good works for the common good using these gifts you've given us. It all follows from who God is. Investing. God is the giver of all good things. Everything we have isn't ours. Therefore, we say, God, we will steward, is the biblical concept. We'll steward, we'll manage your resources as you would have us see fit. And we've talked about those. Now, the one we're going to talk about today is inviting. And ultimately, it flows from the fact that God is an inviting God. Therefore, we invite others into that truth, that reality. It's funny because the Bible uses so much wordplay. One of the reasons where at different times we're going to go into the actual words that were used is because very often in the Bible, God uses wordplay on names, wordplay on titles. And it was interesting that we really believe around here that God gave us our name. It's interesting the wordplay when it comes to invitation. Our name of our church is Emmanuel Covenant Church. And there's an invitation inherent in that name, an invitation into the Emmanuel Covenant. Emmanuel means God with us. There's an invitation into a God with us relationship with God, to experience his presence with us. And then the wordplay is kind of comes into thing where it's Emmanuel Covenant Church. It's a covenant with God and each other. And as we experience God with us, we're inviting others to experience God's presence in our midst. Obviously, that was more interesting to me than to some of the rest of you. But let's get into the Bible now and not just my thoughts. This is a passage. I did not plan on this, but we have found ourselves going back to Genesis almost every week for the last couple months. That won't always be the case, I would suspect, but it's almost as if to prepare us for what's ahead, God keeps bringing us back to the beginning. So let's take a look one more time. This Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. A passage that we've looked at a number of times, but it's interesting how much comes from just this little passage. This is a call of a person named Abraham, and in this case, he's referred to as Abram. That was his original name. And here is the calling of this man who would later become the literal founding father of the whole nation of Israel. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household." And now here comes the invitation. What is the invitation? Go to the land I'll show you. All right, here's this invitation. It's an invitation. Go. Leave them and go. And it's an invitation because this command isn't just here, do what I say or else. The invitation, look how it comes. I will make you into a what? Great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And what does it say? All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So God calls this guy and he makes this invitation in the calling. This invitation to come and to follow me. God invited Abraham to leave behind his old life. It's very interesting how this ties in with the New Testament, but he said, leave behind your old life and follow me, and you're going to find this new life, and this new life won't only be new for you and wonderful for you, but I'm going to bless all nations through you, through what I do in you. Our God's an inviting God, and as I touched on earlier, it's not just invitation to sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. It's not an invitation to say, follow me and do everything that you don't want to do, find as many boring things as you can, you know, to make me happy, say no to everything that's fun, so I will find joy. It's not like that. This week, I was doing my own personal devotions. I was reading through the book of Exodus and came across this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, open it up to this one. Also, we'll put it on the screens here. This is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Look at this invitation. It's an invitation to life. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you. But look at this. Look at what he tacks on there. I'm giving you today for what? Your own good. And that theme is picked up in the New Testament. My commands are not burdensome. There's a reason why God asks us to follow him and follow in his ways. There's all kinds of reasons, but one of them is so that things will go better. That you'll experience relationships the way God designed them to be. That as you try to navigate life, you're not on your own. When you run into mountains, you can receive instructions of how to see a move. That's what he's inviting us into. God is an inviting God. Well, here's a little bit more of how this is unpacked in the scriptures. Here's some New Testament passages now. We'll put a bunch of them on the screens. Let's just take a look at some of these. This is all part of this invitation. The invitation comes in different pieces, but when you start to put it together, it's a pretty complete and amazing invitation. Here's something that Jesus said. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Part of the invitation is to repent and believe the good news. To repent is to turn. It's to do a 180. So part of the invitation is, hey, follow me. Leave that old way behind. Don't try to take it with you. And if most of us are honest, we realize that when you follow yourself, when you follow selfish desires, there's momentary bursts of goodness, but ultimately they don't bring you where you want to go. So God's invitation includes this: repent, give up what you're doing, and turn to me, and trust me and follow me. Leave the old way behind. That's part of the invitation. And watch me work in your life. Okay, moving on to the one the next one here. To all who received him, to shoes, to those, footwear, Sunday. It should say, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, especially those who have shoes. Wow. All right. But the promise here is, you know, that we can become children of God. To those who will receive him, to those who will say, okay, God, I will trust you. I'll let go of my old life. I will receive yours. I will receive your way. I will follow you. You become children of God. You're adopted into the family. You're adopted into the promises made way back to Abraham. You're grafted, the Bible says, into that. Wow. All right. Here's another one. The one from Luke. This is an interesting one. Sets off a whole nother series that we'll also have to do. We got some series that we got to get serious about. My word plays are not as good as God's. All right, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, meaning earthly people, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the what? Holy Spirit to those who ask. So here's part of the invitation. You can ask for the Holy Spirit of God. And again, we need to spend some time talking about the Holy Spirit. And because I think a lot of times churches do a good job of talking about one aspect of God, talking about how important it is to follow Jesus and his example, or talking about God's majesty and his sovereignty and his word. But we can also pray to receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can pray. The Bible gives you permission here. Ask, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, give me the power that I need to make the decisions or to live a God-honoring life. You can pray like that. You can pray and ask God. The invitation is given there. All right, let's keep moving on. Here's more of that extended invitation. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. And then look at this. This seems out of place. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Well, who should honor who? And we do, and we should honor God. But look at that. He says he'll honor you. if you follow him, if you trust him, there's going to be a sense in which God is honoring us. That's a great invitation. You know, often it's presented, this invitation of God is often presented of what you're going to do for God, as if we have that much really to offer in the big scheme of things, right? But isn't that the invitation? You should give everything for God. And is that true? Yeah. But that's, I don't know, it's like, okay, you should empty your piggy bank and give it to the richest person in the world so that they can give you out of their abundance. You know, oh, wow, big sacrifice. I'm giving up my income and I'm getting billions in return. It's kind of like that. That we're, as we follow God, he's going to give us things that really matter. Eternal things. Things that bless us at a deep, deep level. All right. And then that brings us to this last one here. After all these invitations are coming to play in our life, after we consciously say, God, I want to turn from my old ways. Give me your new life. I want to follow you. I believe and I'm going to trust you. We ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and empower us. We begin that journey of following and watching God honor his promises. Then it says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So after all God does for us, he saves us from our sins that separate us from God, separate us from one another, that cause us to hurt ourselves. After saving us from that, adopting us into his family, now God empowers us to be his ambassadors, which we've talked about before is just really crazy. I don't understand why he would trust his holy name into us who dishonor it all the time, but he does. That's the invitation of God. So all that to say, if you would take out your notes, we invite because God is an inviting God. Have I made the case? If you would write that in your notes. We invite ultimately because God is an inviting God. We aren't inviting simply to get more bodies. We're inviting because God is an inviting God, and that's what he invites us into. Now, there's a lot of things that God sets up that are very counterintuitive. Loving your enemy is counterintuitive. There's some of these things that God says that just don't make conscious sense. This one actually does. This makes sense why God would set it up this way, where we are to be inviting others into this reality. Here's a thing that we put up back in March. You know what? Did I bring my... Yeah, I did. Back in March, we put up this graph. And as much as we see churches on almost every corner in this area, the reality is at best, 1 in 4 people on any given Sunday are attending. This is just attending a worship service in our area. This is the 7-county metro area. So on any given Sunday, only 1 in 4 at best in Hennepin, in Scott County, Carver, the biggest one, there's the spiritual metropolis of the world. In this area, this is just attendance. Now, and we all know of the percentage of people who are attending, how many are consciously responding to God's invitation? There's a lot of people in churches that are attending that really don't know you can have a personal relationship with God, that aren't seeing mountains move, that, yeah, all that. Well, here's why I think this makes sense, that God would have us be lights. The Bible says to shine like a light. Well, my house is kind of somewhere in here in Ramsey County. We live in Shoreview. Our home is there. My oldest goes to school right around here in Turtle Lake Elementary. My youngest goes to preschool, which is Roseville, probably more about here. My office is about here. When I started doing this dotting thing where we have places that we attend and we are, do you see how your light starts to get shined? Your light starts to shine in areas. So what I want to do while I'm talking, it's hard. I wish we had the cities up here. You can just take a guess. If you only know your county where you live or where you go to school, if you can kind of just point to it with this, and then Mark will kind of facilitate, make sure this works its way around. So here, we can start over here. You might be off the map, aren't you? Are you in? You're in there? Okay. So just kind of point to, when the laser pointer comes your way, point to like either where you go to school or where you live, where you work. And we'll do this time and probably never again. But the point being, what would happen if we responded to God's invitation and then we extended God's invitation? Do you see how this wonderful reality that God desires starts to go forth? There's a quote I came across that I thought was great that says, many churches remind us of the farmer who's trying to gather his harvest while sitting in the tool shed. Isn't that true? We can't do it. We need to come together. We can go back to the thing now so they can shine on it. there's a time for which we have to come together to get charged up and to gather around God's word and to encourage and support one another. But there's also times where we need to go out too. And that's God's plan. What would happen again if we just said, God, use me as your witness? That song that we had earlier when we were doing our quizzes, it goes on to say this. And just leave this thing up. Oh, no. Yes, leave that up for now. I'll just say the phrases so we can get a couple more lights. The song went on to say, take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. You know, what if we did that? Because again, the invitation is not to go and find somebody and abuse them. You know, it's not to just get in their face and be confrontational. What is that going to work? If you support one political candidate, if you go to the rally of the other one, just dressed up in like, I hate your candidate stuff, are you going to convince anybody of anything? No. But what if they saw something very different in you and the world you seem to be working? Maybe you at least have a platform to say something. What if we went forth just saying, God, here I am. You know my failures. You know my strengths. You know my weaknesses. But just use me. Do you think God might honor that? I think he would. I think he would. Well, our role is not to convince anybody of anything. We can't. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow. Because I tend to be a confrontational person. I tend to think, like a lot of guys, if you just spell out the logic, they'll see, right? That we're right. Life doesn't work that way. For a person to respond to God's invitation, there's two factors at work besides your invitation, and they're the bigger two. There's God's activity in their life, the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and then there's their own response. What are they going to do with that? And those two trump our ability to persuade. So ultimately, all right, here's our last beam. Go ahead and beam that, Jen. And then we'll switch over to the other slide. Thanks, Mark. You can just grab the laser pointer. All right, here's our role. Our role is this: to accept and extend God's invitation. That's what we can do. We can accept and we can extend God's invitation. Now, those of you who tried that quiz, what I did is I created this quiz and I had three different sections, actually four different sections to it. 1 through 3 are one section, 4 through 6 are another. Every 3 is a new section. And here are the sections, if we can put this up. Here's what I think we can do when it comes to accepting and extending God's invitation. I think one is to live well, and I put that first on purpose. Because ultimately, that is going to extend God's invitation better than anything, if we shine like a light. And that's why I asked some really tough questions. I did not ask questions that I could just say yes to. I tried to ask questions that would matter. Imagine if you were filled through God's activity in your life with so much hope and joy and peace that people were noticing that. Do you think that would extend God's kingdom? Yes. And the Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. That might be an area to work on, or people asking you. So there's this whole category of live well that I put first. To extend and accept God's invitation, I don't think there's anything better than living well that's going to make a bigger difference. Trying to live a God-honoring life through the power granted to us, the grace and power granted us by God. Now, another thing that I would encourage you to do is to pray for opportunities. Because the times when God sets it up, it is just crazy how that works. I still have people that I've been praying for and inviting who haven't responded since high school, you know? That was a long time ago for me. But yet, when God sets it up, it works crazy good. I remember in college one time, I got this letter from a guy named Wade Keenest. I had gone to high school with Wade. We weren't close friends. In fact, I don't even remember the thing that he referenced. He sent me a letter back before email. We had these things called letters, and we would have to actually write on paper and then send it to others. It was just this weird thing. And anyway, so he wrote me this letter. And in this letter, he started telling me the story of how somebody had written him a letter to say, thank you for this Bible study that you invited me to because it changed my life. And now I'm leading another Bible study. So Wade's telling me all about that Bible study that he was being thanked for leading that now led to someone else having a Bible study. And then in the letter as it went on, he said, thank you for inviting me to that Bible study on Romans when I was in high school. And to be honest, I never remember inviting Wade to come to the Bible study because I remember that Bible study a little bit. I remember how boring it was. But what he said is it was on Romans, and that's exactly what I needed to hear from God. So here's an invitation I don't even remember that God used to set off this whole thing. Pray. Pray for opportunities. Pray for the people who you would love to see respond to God's invitation, and then pray specifically, God, give me an opportunity. With people I know, with others that I don't. Just use me, God. Give me opportunities. So pray. And then specific asks. You know, that one study said 82%, others say 25%. I don't know what the right percent is, but I do know specific asks are the best. You know, specifically ask people to attend something, and it doesn't have to be here. Attend something that you think would be good for them, that might take them a next step closer to where God would have them to go. We see that all the time in the scripture, of people saying, I found this guy named Jesus. Come and see. They don't try on the spot to convince them. They just come and see. And maybe there's some specific asks that you could make. In fact, how many of you guys are here today as a result of some invitation? Here, not like this morning, but that's good, some this morning. But I mean, how many of you guys are attending worship services and you can trace it back to an invitation that was given to you by somebody? All right, many hands, right? Invitations are important. I mean, we'll try as best we can, too, to make some special things as a church. We're going to start announcing in a little bit. We're going to try a potluck. We haven't ever tried a potluck. Got to bring back the potluck. That was this thing where churches used to get together and people would bring food. All right. So ask people. And then this last one I've got is this conversation capital. There's a buzzword that's being thrown around of conversation capital. Things that you can hold or touch or see that cause conversation. You know, and again, that I'm not talking specifically for our church as much as overall to get people into conversations about what God has done in your life. Many people wear crosses. Some people bring their Bibles with them. We're trying to create some things here, buttons and pins and water bottles and things like that, that can be opportunities for conversation. So you don't always have to feel like I have to try to work something in. But again, you trust the Holy Spirit and say, God, I'm going to carry this with me. If you want to get me into a conversation, please do. Does that make sense? So those are some thoughts, you know, because although it's up to God, we do have a sense of personal responsibility. What would God have you to do? And a lot of us, we have a comfort zone in one area, but not another. I'd encourage you to stretch. Some people are very comfortable praying, less comfortable acting. Other people are more comfortable acting, don't remember to pray. That's why I tried to, you know, put the quiz out there the way I did. Well, I hope this helps. I hope today we've seen a little bit more that God's invitation is God's invitation. That's where it starts. Our God's an inviting God, so we invite. And we're not inviting to an organization. We're inviting into this relationship with God and his people. Well, one last invitation to throw out to you that we'll start talking about a little bit next week and the weeks that follow. If we could switch this to saying covenant partners, great. We're going to our church, if you want to actually look at the back of your bulletin, our church, now that we're a year old, we're able to start talking about membership. And the way that it's going to work at our church is this. We're a church in what's called the covenant denomination, and right now we receive assistance from the covenant support. When that ends, which is going to be not this summer, but next summer, when that ends, then we're going to be received as not a church plant, but as a member church. And so what we want to do is to have this thing called covenant partners so that when we switch as a church from a church plant to a member of the covenant church, we're able to have our covenant partners switch from covenant partners to charter members. And these things we've been talking about, membership, these will be part of the covenant partner covenant, that you're in community with other believers, that you have a relationship with Christ, you're involved somehow as God provides the time and opportunity, you're investing, and you're inviting. So we'll have
We will. By next week, I'll have a little sheet that you can sign on to that, and we'll say a little bit more about that. And also on the invitation note, too, next week, Patel Lopez is joining us. So I'm thrilled for that, the CEO of Emmanuel Children's Home. In fact, I think she's in the area, and it's really neat, too. She was emailing me, and she goes, this is the first time my kids have ever been on an airplane, and so it'll be really fun to meet her and her family. So let's pray for our as we go forth. Why don't you stand as we do? Let me pray and ask God to bless and guide us. Lord, we thank you that you are an inviting God. We thank you that you don't sit back and wait for us to get our act together, because that's not going to happen. That you don't sit back and wait for us to first come to you. But God, you're an inviting God. And even today, through your word, through these words that I've stumbled through, Lord, you're extending this invitation to us. And Lord, thank you for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us to respond. Help us to overcome the fears. Help us to overcome deception. Help us to overcome anything that would stand in the way of your best for our life. So Holy Spirit, do that. Help us to overcome. You are mighty to save. So save us from ourselves. Save us from our fear. Save us from anything that would hold us back from being these lights that you would have us to be. To actually experience light ourselves, and then to be bringers of light to the rest of our world. So Lord, help us as we go forth. Bless us as we go forth. May we go forth with peace, and may we go forth with confidence that you are with us and you're for us, not against us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have a great week.